All right, so today we're going to take a deep dive into something you probably use all the time, but maybe don't think about too much.
Okay.
It's the websites for the US federal government, like when you need to find information or access a service or file something online.
Right, like the IRS or Social Security or.
Exactly. Yeah, and what we're looking at today is a pretty significant shift in how those websites are designed and built.
Yeah, a set of new standards that have been rolled out across the board.
Right, and the goal is to kind of cut through all the technical jargon and figure out, like, what are the core ideas behind these changes? And more importantly, why should you care? Like, how is it going to impact your actual experience when you're using those websites?
Right, like what's in it for the everyday user?
Exactly. Yeah. So you shared some fascinating material for this one, an article from Double Dome Digital Marketing.
Yeah, they do some great work, and they really get into the details of how these new standards are being put into practice.
Okay, cool. So where do we even start with something this big?
Well, the article traces it all back to a piece of legislation called the 21st Century Integrated Digital Experience Act, which thankfully is usually just called the 21st Century IDEA.
Okay, 21st century IDEA.
And that was passed back in late 2018.
So this isn't exactly brand new stuff.
No,
Yeah.
but it's really starting to have a major impact now as agencies get up to speed.
Right. So before we get into the specifics of the standards themselves, what was the thinking behind this IDEA Act? Like, what problem was it trying to solve?
Yeah, well, at its core, it's all about modernizing how the federal government interacts with people online.
Okay, so it's not just like making the websites look prettier.
No, it's much more than that.
Okay.
It's really about creating a better user experience across the board. And it's not just a suggestion. It's actually a legal requirement now for federal agencies.
Oh, wow. So it actually has teeth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the act, which is officially codified as 44 USC 30501.
Okay.
It basically mandates that federal agencies have to overhaul their websites, online forms, digital services, you name it.
So everything.
Pretty much. Yeah, even their mobile apps. And this all started kicking in back in 2019.
Oh, okay. So it's been a few years in the making.
Yeah, and the key thing here is that the act lays down very specific guidelines for web design that these agencies have to follow.
So it's like a whole new set of rules of the road for government websites.
Exactly, yeah, and they have to stick to them.
Okay, so it sounds like this is a pretty big deal, but I think for most people, myself included, we probably don't even think about the design of government websites until we have to use one.
Right.
And then it's usually because we need something urgently.
Yeah, like filing your taxes or renewing a passport.
Exactly. And in those moments, it's like the last thing you want to be dealing with is a confusing or clunky
Hey,
website.
you just want to get in, get what you need, and get out.
Totally.
Yeah.
So how do these new standards actually address that? Like, what's the secret sauce that's going to make these websites easier to use?
Well, the article breaks it down into eight key principles that all federal agencies are now being evaluated against.
Okay, eight principles. So kind of like the eight commandments of good web design.
Yeah, you could think of it that way.
I'm ready. Let's hear them.
Okay, so we've got accessibility, consistency, streamlining search capabilities, secure user needs, transaction efficiency, and accuracy.
Okay, slow down.
Okay, sorry. And finally, functionality.
Okay, that was a lot to take in, but it does sound like it covers a pretty wide range of
Yeah,
issues.
it's a pretty comprehensive framework.
Okay, well, let's break it down one by one. So, starting with accessibility, I mean, that seems like a really important place to start, making sure that everyone, regardless of their abilities, can actually use these websites.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the legislation is very clear on this point. All federal websites have to be accessible to people with disabilities.
Which makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and this isn't entirely new territory. The standards actually build upon the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, and specifically an amendment that was added in 1998 called Section 508. And that was a landmark moment because it really solidified this requirement for federal agencies to make their electronic and information technology accessible.
Right, because imagine like if you're someone who relies on a screen reader and you can't access essential information or services.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just not acceptable.
No, definitely not.
And that's the kind of barrier that these regulations are designed to prevent.
Okay, and is there a specific agency that's like in charge of making sure these accessibility standards are met?
Yeah, the article mentions the United States Access Board.
Okay.
They play a key role in providing guidance and detailed rules to federal agencies on how to implement these standards.
So they're like the accessibility experts, I think.
Exactly. Yeah, and what's interesting is that the Access Board was already laying the groundwork for this even before the 21st Century IDEA came along.
Really?
Yeah, the article points out that they issued final rules in 2018, specifically about access to telecommunications equipment for people with disabilities.
Okay.
So you can see this has been a priority for a while now.
Right. So it's not just a reaction to this new legislation. It's like a continuous effort to improve things.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about creating a more inclusive digital environment for everyone.
I like that. Okay. So that's accessibility. What about consistency? I mean, with so many different government agencies and websites, I imagine it could be a pretty disjointed experience trying to use them.
Yeah, it definitely could be. And that's exactly what this principle aims to address.
Okay, so what does consistency actually mean in this context?
Well, the guidelines call for a consistent appearance and user experience across all federal websites.
So no more feeling like you've time traveled to a different era of the internet every time you switch websites.
Exactly. Yeah. And while it might seem like a small detail, it actually has a huge impact on how easy it is to use these websites.
Right. Like if everything looks and feels familiar, it's just less mental effort to figure out how to navigate.
Precisely. Yeah. And to help agencies achieve this consistent look and feel, the General Services Administration, they actually provide something called the U.S. Web Design System.
Okay. What is that, like a giant style guide?
Yeah. You could think of it that way. It's essentially a set of shared design elements like common fonts, colors, layouts, things like that.
Okay.
And the idea is that by using this system, all federal websites will start to have a more unified and professional appearance.
So it's like a common language for web design across the government.
Exactly. Yeah. And it helps build trust too, because when things look familiar, it feels more reliable.
Right. Like you know what to expect.
Exactly.
And the article mentions some examples of websites that have already been redesigned using this system.
Yeah, they highlight USDA.gov, CIO.gov, and AmberAlert.gov is a good example.
Okay, I'm definitely going to have to check those out and see what this consistency looks like in action.
Yeah, I think it's really helpful to see it firsthand.
Okay, so we've covered accessibility and consistency. What's next on the list?
Streamlining.
Okay, that sounds promising, especially for anyone who's ever gotten lost in the labyrinth of a government website.
Yeah, I think we've all been there.
So what does streamlining actually involve?
Well, the 21st century idea, it actually mandates that federal agencies have to conduct regular reviews of their websites.
So it's not just a one-time cleanup effort.
No, it's an ongoing process.
Okay.
And the goal is to make sure that the information is up to date and that there's no unnecessary duplication or outdated content.
Right, because I'm sure there's a lot of that lurking around on government websites.
Oh, yeah, the article specifically talks about overlapping content that you often find on these legacy sites that have been around for years.
Right, so it's like digital archaeology?
Kind of, yeah. Mm. But the good news is that this streamlining effort should make it much easier for you to find the information you need.
Right, because you won't be wading through a bunch of irrelevant or outdated stuff.
Exactly. And it also helps the agencies themselves because they can focus their resources on maintaining a smaller number of websites that are actually useful.
Okay, that makes sense. So streamlining is all about clarity and efficiency. Okay, what about search capabilities? I mean, that seems like a pretty basic requirement for any website these days, but especially for government sites where you're often looking for very specific information.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Effective search is non-negotiable these days, and the legislation addresses this directly.
Okay, so what does it say?
Well, it requires all federal agencies to ensure that visitors can easily search for any public-facing content on their websites.
Okay, so it's not just about having a search bar. It's about making sure that search bar actually works.
Right. And what's interesting is that the standards don't actually specify any particular search algorithms or technology.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Instead, they focus on the outcome, which is a user-friendly criterion.
So it's about how effective the search is, not the technical details of how it's done.
Exactly. Yeah. The bottom line is you should be able to find what you need quickly and easily without having to be a search expert.
Right. No more guessing what keywords the government might be using.
Exactly.
Okay. That's a relief.
Yeah.
All right. What's next? Yes. Security, big one, especially when you're dealing with sensitive information on government websites.
Absolutely. And this is another area where the standards are very clear.
Okay.
They mandate that all federal agencies have to provide their public-facing websites through an industry-standard secure connection.
So that little lock icon in the address bar.
Exactly, yeah. And that's essential for protecting you from phishing scams, identity theft, all sorts of nasty stuff.
Right, because the last thing you want is to end up on a fake government website and accidentally give away your personal information.
Exactly, yeah. So this is a really important baseline requirement for all federal websites now.
Good to know. Okay, so we've covered accessibility, consistency, streamlining search capabilities, and security. What's next?
User needs.
User needs. Okay, well, that sounds like it should be the foundation of any good website design, but especially for government sites that are meant to serve the public.
Right, you would think so. And the 21st century idea, it actually makes this a legal requirement.
What?
Yeah, agencies are now explicitly required to design their websites, digital services, online forms, all of it with the user's needs in mind.
So it's not just about what the government thinks is important, it's about what the people who are actually using these services need.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And to make sure this actually happens, the legislation also mandates continuous testing.
Continuous testing, what does that mean?
It means that agencies can't just design a website and then forget about it.
Okay.
They have to constantly be gathering feedback from users and making improvements based on that feedback.
So it's an ongoing process.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's really encouraging because it means that these websites should be getting better and easier to use over time.
Right. It shows a commitment to actually serving the public.
Yeah, and it also reflects the reality that people's needs and expectations are constantly evolving. So these websites have to evolve too.
That's a great point. Okay, so that's user needs. What's next?
Transaction efficiency and accuracy.
Okay, that sounds relevant for anyone who's ever had to fill out a government form online.
Yeah, definitely. And this principle is all about making those online transactions as smooth and error-free as possible.
Okay, so what does that look like in practice?
Well, the legislation talks about using digital customization options to make it easier for people to complete these transactions accurately and efficiently.
So like tailoring the online experience to the specific needs of the user.
Exactly. Yeah. So for example, if you're renewing your driver's license online, the website might ask you a few questions up front to figure out exactly what forms and documents you need.
Okay.
And then it would guide you through the process step by step, making sure you don't miss anything.
Right. So it's like having a virtual assistant to help you navigate the bureaucracy.
Exactly. Yeah. And that can save everyone a lot of time and frustration.
And hopefully reduce the number of errors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is good for both the user and the government.
Right. It's a win-win. Okay, so we've covered accessibility, consistency, streamlining search capabilities, security user needs, and transaction efficiency and accuracy. What's the last principle?
Functionality.
Functionality. Okay, so this is about making sure that the websites actually work properly.
Right, and it goes beyond just making sure the links work and the pages load.
Okay.
This principle is really focused on making sure that these federal websites are fully functional on all devices.
So whether you're on a desktop, a laptop, a tablet, or a phone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because these days people are accessing the internet from all sorts of devices.
Right, and it's super frustrating when a website doesn't work properly on your phone.
Totally, yeah. So this principle is really about acknowledging that reality and making sure that these government websites are accessible and usable no matter how you're connecting to them.
Okay, so to recap, we've now gone through all 8 principles of the 21st century: idea, accessibility, consistency, streamlining, search capabilities, security, user needs, transaction efficiency, and accuracy and functionality.
Yeah, that was a lot to cover.
It was, but I think it's really helpful to see the whole picture and understand the breadth of what this legislation is trying to achieve.
Yeah, it's a pretty ambitious undertaking.
It is, but it's all ultimately about improving the public's experience with government websites.
Exactly. Yeah. And the article really emphasizes that point.
Right. It's about making these websites more accessible, consistent, efficient, secure, and overall more user-friendly.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about making it easier for people to interact with the government online.
And hopefully that will lead to more trust and satisfaction with government services.
Right. Because when people feel like they're being heard and their needs are being met, they're more likely to engage and participate.
Exactly. So as you're navigating government websites in the future, keep these 8 principles in mind. It might help you understand why certain things are designed the way they are.
Yeah, and if you come across a website that seems particularly well designed or easy to use, you might be seeing these principles in action.
That's a good point. So beyond just government websites, what do you think are the broader implications of these standards? Like, do they have relevance for other types of websites too?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think these 8 principles are really valuable guidelines for anyone who's involved in creating websites or online platforms.
Okay.
Whether it's for a business,
yeah,
a nonprofit organization, or even just a personal blog.
Right. Because at the end of the day, it's all about creating a good user experience.
Exactly. Yeah, and these principles are all about that.
So it's like the government is setting a good example for the rest of the internet to follow.
Yeah, you definitely see it that way.
Okay, so for our listeners out there, think about your own online experiences. Which of these 8 principles do you find most important? And how do you think these guidelines might shape your expectations for all websites in the future? Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's been great having you, and we'll see you next time for another deep dive.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, take care.
You too.
Bye.